just as I have loved you. Love one another.
Love one another.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jewish leaders, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. So tonight begins the great 3 days, the pinnacle of the whole Christian year. And we begin this first of 3 nights with one of the most important Jewish liberation stories that our Jewish friends will read for Passover beginning tomorrow night. The Passover Exodus reading. And we as Christians set it next to, alongside, the Last Supper reading from John. Now, imagery from the Exodus runs throughout all 3 days for Christians. Early Christians began to see that one way they could understand Christ was as the Passover lamb. But instead of sacrificing a lamb, God sacrifices himself. Instead of doors marked by blood, blood is on our hands. We're guilty. Instead of slavery by others, we see that we're slaves by our own making, turned in on the self. Instead of the sin and evil perpetrated on the Israelites via the evil of slavery, God himself receives the world's evil in himself, in God's very self. The motifs are the same. God frees those who are slaves, enslaved. God defeats evil and brings a new beginning. There's even blood, which is a mark of saving and healing and freedom even. So the Last Supper, the crucifixion, the execution, and the resurrection are for Christians the defining liberation story. In John's writing, Jesus anticipates that the blood of his death will very soon be on the hands of human beings, including his own disciples, and so institutes a meal of forgiveness so that followers of all times would hear that they are forgiven and joined by God's forgiveness in one body. But if we celebrate the institution of communion tonight, the Last Supper, why do we hear about feet being washed? Well, John, tonight's author, famously omits the Last Supper in his gospel and instead puts the foot washing in its place. We know that it's intentional because John plays with the timing of it. Foot washing would have actually occurred right when the people came into the room, not when they were about to eat. So John places the foot washing right where the bread and the wine of the Last Supper should appear. During supper, Jesus got up. It's John's midrash, his side commentary on the meaning of the Last Supper. The meaning of this meal is so rich and so full, one image and one definition or one description can't contain it. So Matthew and Luke focus on the forgiveness of sin from Paul and the New Covenant. And John proclaims the meal to be God's act of foolish love, God's act of serving us with forgiveness that also then impels us to love. John reveals that through the meal, Christ serves us, tends to us in a rather ungodlike, servile way. Foot washing was considered such a degrading task that it actually could not be required of a slave. And yet, here's Jesus. And somehow, in this one, God, the creator of the cosmos, made flesh in this man from Nazareth, chooses to be our slave and wash our feet, the first disciples' feet, and by doing so, turns upside down what we would consider important in this world: power and greatness and strength and status and reputation. And by washing his disciples' feet, turns everything upside down and liberates us from those ideals, frees us from our enslavement to them. And God also defeats the power of evil by taking it into himself. But more on that tomorrow night. Now, this meal wasn't merely meant for disciples of 2,000 years ago. It's for all followers of Christ in every age, including us, who are just like those who gathered 2,000 years ago, and just like human beings who will gather in another 2,000 years if the earth is still around. That is, we are just like them, like all human beings, full of self-preservation, having disdain or even hatred for our enemies, clinging to ideals instead of to our Creator. bent on winning at all costs, or at least making sure everybody likes us if we lose. For us, Jesus hosts tonight's supper. Truly present here among us tonight in a way that we can't fully comprehend. But he comes to us in the same foolish and loving way that he washed his first disciples' feet. But now he comes somehow through the bread and the wine. And more, in the meal, Jesus joins us together, whether we know one another, whether we like one another or not. By this meal, Christ shapes us into the community of forgiveness, into the community that loves one another. And because Christ tends to us, we can get up from the meal and tend to one another and to the world that God so loves. Friends, we begin the great 3 days with a meal of incomprehensible, wondrous love set before us. So come to the table and receive the foolish love and forgiveness of a God who comes to you in the form of a slave with absolute forgiveness in hand. Amen.